So I want to talk to you a little bit today about some scriptures and some things really my heart. So let's go really quickly. Let's start with, let me see, Shandarabakundu. John 17, that would be a good place to start. You know that some folks in some churches, some more of the mainline churches, they have days that they call a day for Christian unity. And this is not the day, but I want to share my heart. And so we can call this message Christian unity if you like. But this is my heart. Now, if there's any prayer upon the earth, this is what I've learned. And as I've been preaching all over the earth, all over the world, and I don't know how many nations we've been to. I think we've been to about 40 different nations. But one thing I know as I, you know, go to different places. And you know what? It's good for your pastor to go to different places. Believe me, it is. You may think, well, that guy, he sure does. You know, I don't go to that many places. I don't even have anything scheduled for next year. Yeah, when I said that, I was like, well, what about Virginia? Yeah, there is, because I sent you the itinerary just yesterday. Okay, but that's, you know, that's the United States. That's nowhere. I mean, that's somewhere, but I mean, anyways, you get what I mean. All right, so it's good. It doesn't happen always. I mean, we have certain criteria and I don't know, I don't want to call them restrictions, but anyways, we've got certain limits as to, you know, how much we can travel and all that kind of stuff, just so to make sure our church is healthy, the flock's looked after and all that. Anyway, so when we go anywhere, I know one thing, and you know, I pray, we minister, we preach, we bring, you know, some of what we've received here to the nations. I'm mindful of one thing, and I'm mindful that my prayers aren't as good as Jesus' prayers. That his prayers are the prayers that are really going to last. And that his prayers are the prayers that the Father listens to. And if there's any prayer at all, any prayer at all, that's going to be absolutely heeded to, absolutely going to be fulfilled, every jot and tittle of it, every word, every syllable, any word at all, any word at all, any prayer request that's going to be answered to the full, that is Jesus' prayer. So think about that. When you're looking at the Gospels, when you're reading the Gospels, you think about Jesus' prayer, because you know what? Think about the fact even that even before Jesus died, you know, on the cross, before he was being crucified, he thought it was good enough, you know, fitting to pray these prayers to his Father. And one thing that he said was that, he's the high priestly prayer it's referred to, but in that he says, you know what? That they would know you and have that same relationship that I have with you. So there's the Father heart prayer in there, right? But there's also this other prayer. And this prayer is going to be absolutely fulfilled before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. So just stop there for a second. That's an incredible prayer. I know I've heard different spins on this over the years. Over and over again, I know even I Catch the Fire, we have different spins on this. And, you know, and people can interpret it, well, you know, we're not called, you know, we're called to be one in the Spirit. And just so many different spins. But the reality of it is, Jesus prayed this to the Father, and the Father is going to make sure that this prayer gets done. Amen. Father, just as you and I am, just as you are in me and I in you. So there is a profound oneness that he's talking about here. I'll call it oneness. Oneness. He's saying that we will be united in such a way that resembles the way he was united to his Heavenly Father. It's an incredible prayer when you think of it. It's absolutely amazing if you get the revelation. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you gave, that you have sent me. So why? So here's two purposes. He's absolutely saying, you know what? You need to be one with me, with the Father. So there's a reconciliation with the Father and a reconciliation, the word reconciliation, with each other. Why? Because he does say there is a purpose in this before the great return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is coming back. We need to hear that. We need to keep that always, like being ready, prepared, like, you know, as if he would come back today. Any moment, for that matter. Why? Because he says that the world may know. So basically, our greatest evangelistic tool is being united. See, I've thought through this again and again and again and again and again through different angles, and I'm still thinking through it from different angles when I could think, when I have time to think. And that is that the world thinks, I'm thinking the world for a second, the world thinks, do I want to be connected with you? All that division, like, this guy with that guy and that. I mean, I can join the Rotary Club and there's more unity in the Rotary, or whatever club, you know, the Boy Scouts, you know, whatever. You follow what I'm saying? They look, our witness is tainted because of the lack of unity. And if we were together strong, man, we are a mighty force. Like, one can take 1,000, 10, or two, 10,000. Imagine the unity of believers. Now, I want to say this, because I've had a couple of revelations and some experience, and we're going to continue to read the Word, but I want to say this, that as soon as I say these things, they're escaping my mind. So, Lord, bring them back. Here, here's... I want to say this. I want to say the Lord helped me understand something, because I was just kind of like, oh God, why? Why do I even want to mess, you know, get involved with mainline Christians and all that, you know, all denominationalism? I didn't even hate that word. I don't even think it's in your vocabulary, you know, denominations and mainline, you know, and all the Methodists and the Baptists and all those. Why do I even want to be, you know, in that? Especially the Catholic Church, to top it off. Sorry if you're a Catholic here. I'm not saying anything negative, because, you know, I've got favor there. Exactly where I'm going. And the Lord said to me, Bruno, you need to delineate between what's institutional. This really helped me a lot. Like, it just settled it for me. What's institutional and what's of my spirit? I said, wow. He says the institutional church is like the monarchy, like a monarchy. It's similar to the monarchy of England. And do you respect the Queen of England? Absolutely. Would you kiss her hand? Would you honor her in the protocol, in the manner in which you would honor her? Yes! Why wouldn't I? Would I put on a suit? Would I, you know, roll out a red carpet if she was here today? You know, we have a friend and we go to Oscar. You guys probably know Oscar. He works at the CN Tower. And he actually served her, you know, up in the CN Tower. And so he's telling me about the etiquette and everything. If you go and meet the Queen, or if she's going to come and meet you, they send someone, I can't remember the terminology, train you on the etiquette, you know, on how to speak to her and how, you can't just have a meeting like that with the Queen. How to sit, And that's okay. I mean, it seems like, you know, oh, that sounds a little, you know, for us it would be a little religious, right? It's kind of like a little legalistic. Can't we just have a normal conversation? Isn't she normal? Isn't she human? Isn't she, you know, there is that part of it. But, hey, I would do it if the Queen, you know, if I had to meet the Queen. Now, let me jump onto this now. Same thing if it was the Pope, because there's history there too. If I had to meet the Pope, and I've been invited to the Vatican several times, if I had to wear a black suit, I'd have to wear a black suit. If I had to, whatever, because God has opened those doors. Now, we've studied a lot of history, church history. In all the years, even through the Middle Ages, God's Spirit, there was a remnant always. God has never abandoned His church. In fact, I was mentioning to Alex yesterday, and I can't remember their names even, but even in the second century, there was a movement, a prophetic movement, that was shunned from the institutional church, especially with Constantine. And you know, so I'm not going to tell you about church history right now, but the Montanists, or what were they? Does someone know their names? There was a movement of the prophetic that came to the church, and it just was a little bit too weird for the church, so they're just kind of like, you know, God can't be contained. So, anyways, the bottom line is for me to delineate between what God is doing, because helps me, because I've worked with certain churches, and sometimes you can call them overseers or bishops. You know, there's bishops even in Protestant churches. There's bishops in Catholic, and there's bishops in there. And so here's, you can work, God has opened doors, let's say, with communities or churches where you're able to minister and pour into them for a number of years, let's say 10 years for that matter. And all of a sudden the leadership changes. So you've poured into that a relationship for 10 years, and this kind of thing has happened to us, and it's helped me come at peace with this. You've poured into a relationship for 10 years. All of a sudden, the leadership changes. The top changes. I mean, I like grassroots things, but the top, the leadership changes. And all of a sudden, now, it's kind of like, who's Bruno Irulo? Yeah, don't meet with him anymore. And all of a sudden, the relationship is severed. And it's kind of like, it's just like, out the door. 10 years of, you know, just pouring in, relationship building, all that, and now it's gone because leadership change. And, you know, you could get really hurt by all that. And the Lord said to me, no, don't get hurt, you know. Don't worry, that's the way things go. Sometimes, you know, the institution takes over. Sometimes, you know, you got to kind of understand how it goes. So if you make an impact, and here's where I'm after. And here, the bottom line is this. Whatever we're doing, in terms of reconciliation and unity, because I seem to be a little bit of a figure and catch the fire in that sense. Whatever we're doing it because we believe, you know, you've heard the Seven Mountains teaching, we believe every sphere of culture needs to be invaded. By who? God. And I believe our mandate is the Father Heart, to bring the Father Heart to everyone. And that every religious system, everything will bow its knee down. And so, if I have an audience and I'm able to, because I believe God's opening, He's given us favor to bring the Father Heart to many different denominations. Yeah, explain the cardinal, Naomi says. Okay, well, I was just recently in Italy, and I felt like the Lord say, take an olive branch. Everyone had olive branches, and I said, here, you know, I'm going to grab these olive branches. And as I was in this great cathedral, you know, with the cardinal who represents, he's advisor to the Pope and represents cardinal for ecumenism. Ecumenism, that's it. Okay, that's a hard, anyways. Don't tell me later, ask me later what that word means. Anyways. So I said, here, I'm holding this, and in this hand I'm saying I'm holding, you know, symbolically a Canadian flag. I didn't have a Canadian flag, which has a leaf. And I started just sharing over that great pulpit, you know, and that great cathedral, and I started talking. The cardinal was touched. He was in tears. He says, wow, who is this guy? And he starts asking tons of questions about Toronto. You know, and so there's doors that are opening there. Now, so in the context of this, enough little stories. I have given them the glory that you've given me, that they may be one as we are one. So the same oneness, this is what he's talking about. May they be brought to complete Listen to that. Complete unity to let the world know that you've sent me. This is incredible. Now, you can even jump to John 13, 34 if you want, but don't bother. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Psalm 133, and these will be the last scriptures, and then I'll just share on them a bit. Psalm 133, it says this, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. And it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessings, even life forevermore. Wow, you know, that's incredible. See, when you think of unity, you got to think of two different things. You got to think of the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel is the first picture of unity in Scripture, really. I mean, the first picture of union really is, you know, the garden. I know, okay, let's jump in terms of civilizations and stuff like that. The Tower of Babel, what does the Bible say? It was unstoppable. Why? Because they were unified, they spoke in one language. Correct? What is the counterpart, if you want to call it that, of the Tower of Babel in the New Testament? You guys got it. Actually, yes. The day of Pentecost. Why? What happened there? The Holy Spirit was descended upon the church, and what happened? This is a key. They spoke in other tongues. So the same prophetic word really in the Old Testament is now true. Think about it in a New Testament paradigm. Today, those who speak in other tongues, I'll qualify that a little bit, can take the world for Jesus. Believe me, there's no stopping the power that can be released because of two things. Well, I think two things. And I believe when we're unified together, and the key to being unified together is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. I can't get together with Presbyterians, Methodists, this and that. The key has to be, they have to be born again, Spirit-filled, Holy Spirit-filled, baptized, no matter what theology they have, if they got it all when they were baptized in the Spirit, or their, you know, fullness, that debate, if you thought through theological debates, or they're believing in more. You know, that they didn't quite get it all. They're continual impartations and receiving, you know, until the Lord comes back. So there's that continual flow. You know, it doesn't matter. But the bottom line is that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the bottom line. So I am unified in the Spirit with other believers who are absolutely born again, filled with the Spirit. And then we can work through things. Secondly, worship is another component which is very key. When I remember the early days in 94, it didn't really matter if you were black, white, you know, this denomination or that denomination. When we worshiped together, all our barriers came down. Now, Azusa Street, if you know any of the history, Azusa Street in 1904 was amazing. But something has been left out in the history books unless you really look at it. You know what the greatest part of the movement in Azusa Street was? You know what it broke down? Does anyone know? What? Racial barriers were the biggest thing. That, you know, yeah, it was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, people got tongues and all things. Well, no, it wasn't that so much. It was a slave. You know, just read the history. It broke down division. The slaves and all. It just was a major. That's what this is. Now, I had an experience in Tulsa, Oral Roberts University. And I'll tell you about it. You know, as a Catch the Fire guy, you know, been in this church for over, I don't even know, 22 years. Now, I got an invitation, and I felt that kind of like the invitation, Bruno, I'd like to invite you in the United in Christ meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is followed by an amazing conference called Empowered 21 at ORU. And this is the first time ever. You know, the boardroom, I don't know if you've ever seen it. I mean, I don't think it, the third floor where the boardroom is was off grounds. You know, it's just so. I even got a chance to go into Oral Roberts' prayer room. I was given the key. And I sat in the prayer tower and just said, give me everything you got, Father, whatever Oral Robert received, and I'll take that and more. I'm greedy, sorry. But anyways, I think it's okay to do that. You can ask for more. Don't be shy. You know what I mean? Anyways, I don't know what I got. I didn't. Hopefully I got a lot. So here I am, and there was about 30 or 40 different denominations represented there in the board meeting. And I experienced something I can't even describe to you. Something that I think is in John 17. I call it this, and I think I've written some articles on blogs on this, and I need to write some more, but anyways, she's pushing me. The pusher lady, not the pusher man, but the pusher lady is like, right. Yes, honey, I will write. Synergy. Where the greatest... you know, just look for that definition. I did actually write on this. The parts together are greater than the whole. You know, it becomes like a whole. All parts is just. It's something like. It's not a negative thing. It's like just. It becomes so. The unity. It just becomes like just so great. Okay. Now. In my spirit, I was connected with these guys in spirit. And it was like Psalm 133, where it says, for there the Lord bestows, in other words, bestows is commands. He commands his blessing. It's an amazing thing. He commands his blessing. Now, I understand, well, how could you unify yourself with this guy because this guy doesn't believe in, you know, adult baptism. He believes in infant baptism. You know, I'm not going there, okay? That's not my point. It's a spirit thing. It's connected in spirit. And there's great freedom in diversity, too. You know, who likes... What do you like to eat a lot, honey? What's a nice steak? What's your be-all, end-all, nice meal type of meal? Chicken with mushroom sauce. Anyone like that? My daughter, Hannah, hates mushrooms. I'm glad you said that. She will not go 10 feet near mushrooms. Right? I got to pay her $5 for saying that. But anyways... She likes asparagus. But you know what? They still sit at the same table. You know? And so, you can enjoy that. And you can be still unified. And that's what it's like. It's like a great feast. Think about the feast, the banquet. You know, there's so much variation. It doesn't mean compromise with sin. Now, mind you. There's holiness in there as well. So it's not a matter of compromising. It's not a matter of giving in. You know, it's just, you know, I bless the diversity in different people, in different cultures. We need it. Now, There's another word. It's called convergence. When streams coming together, different streams. And you know what? I want it all. So I like the mushrooms. I like the asparagus. I like it. I don't know. But this is my DNA is basically it all. I'll take it all. So I like the Pentecostal movement. I like what the Baptists have to give. I like what the Word of Faith have to give. I'm sorry. I like all of it. And I'll take every part of it. That's quite a thought. But I want it all. Why stop? Why settle for less? Now, I know at Catch the Fire we need to be focused on the mandate that the Lord has given us, and we need to steward that well. My authority lies in what authority I've been given from our, you know, the waterfall that Naomi talks about through. So I want it all. Now, where do I go with this all? Let me tell you what's happening. September 20th, like Naomi said, the phone has been ringing off the hook in some ways. Folks from, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Keith Duncan. I don't know, but anyways, he called me yesterday and confirmed. I said to him, you know, we'd love to have you lead worship. He leads worship at Virginia Beach. Just before we do our Catch the Fire conference, I haven't shared this with you yet, honey. He actually prepares the ground there before, you know, and every year they've had, you know, just incredible, just a worship event. And he's an incredible worship leader. He said in North Carolina, he's now moved to Virginia Beach, but in North Carolina, he had 25 churches come together and they canceled their services. I know we do this in Newmarket, and we've never been involved, and my excuse has been, well, we got the Fresh Wind Conference. But in Newmarket here, they come together for an Easter service. You guys are aware of that, you know, Valley View and the Alliance Church as well, and various other ones, and NCC. But anyways, 25 churches came together and rented a stadium. And he said it was absolutely incredible. That launched him into a ministry of reconciliation and unity. And so stuff like that happens. And this guy's just, you know, he said, you know, I'd like to come. And I just was bold with him. Listen, I'd love to have you come, but I need to let you know I got no budget. So you're coming at your own cost. It says, okay, sometimes we do that. And so next thing I hear is basically, oh, by the way, someone has offered to sponsor me, so we're coming. So things have come. Now, so Matteo, who's has an office in the Vatican, and born again, spirit-filled, there's absolutely no doubt about that, loves the Father, loves Toronto. You know, maybe some, you know, manifestations may freak him out a little bit, but who knows? They're in for a rude awakening, and I don't really care. Sorry, cut that part of the tape out. Because who am I? I can't control that. I know we're not to offend and stuff like that, but you know what? Jesus constantly offended. You've got to think about that. He was constantly coming against sharing a counterculture. Wasn't he constantly? But, you know, I know, yeah, but he was offending the religious leaders. Yeah, yeah. So maybe every part of religion that's in us needs to be offended. Maybe we need to be offended. So I understand that. And I understand Romans, too. And I can balance that out with, the weak, you know, not offending and not trying to. Yeah, I understand that. So, but anyway, so we have an event, and I've been asked to spearhead this thing called United in Christ, and I've been going with it slow, but I want to sweep through Canada, bringing reconciliation, Jew and Gentile. So there's that bit about the Jew and the Gentile. So Israel's in there. In fact, I've been talking with a guy who's from the West Coast, and Stacy Campbell's asked me to connect with him, and it actually goes way back. You probably know him, Giulio Gabelli. Anyways, so we've been connecting, and he has a heart for this, and he wants to be involved. I mean, I don't want to throw names out there, but folks like the Archbishop of the United Anglican Church, Orthodox priests are coming together, various bishops. So many of these guys are coming together, and I'm thinking, who am I, Lord? But we're having this event together, and I know something's going to be released. Something credible is going to be released, because even to have them together in the same room is something. You know, that's a miracle. Just to have these guys in the same room. And so, you know, it's not a huge gathering. It's not open to all. It's kind of like invitation only. But, okay, so there's Jew and Gentile. There's that reconciliation of one man there. You know, Ephesians talks about that. There's also the... Here's a big thing, guys. And I don't know if you know this in terms of the healing of our own land. There is healing of the First Nations people that is huge. In fact, there is French and English. That is huge. That needs to be healed. You know, the French Canadians and all. There also is, you know, Catholics need to heal the land as well. Because if you know a little bit about history, what about the Catholics and the Iroquois? And all that, you know, the Hurons and the Algonquin and all that kind of stuff. You know, here are Catholic priests, you know, Brebeuf and Denouille and all these guys, and I need to brush up on history, and I need to get history before, you know, this event. But, you know, these Catholic guys who, when you think, well, what did they come to bring? Bring idolatry to, you know, to stir them away from, you know, and try to bring Western civilized culture to them instead of... I don't think so, guys. Be careful with that, because I think these guys were trying to bring Jesus Christ. In fact, if you think of it, have you ever been on any of those voyageur routes? I've been on brigades. I went to a boarding school, and so I've been on a month-long through Georgian Bay and all that portaging, and I've been there, you know, with being wet for three weeks straight, you know, with a cup tied around my waist with granola and a bar of cheese. I know what they've gone through. And you can, you know, imagine, they didn't have, you know, the medicine and everything that, you know, and the nutrition and everything else they needed. And for them, it was a huge sacrifice to reach those people. Huge. And they sacrificed their whole lives there. And a lot of them were even burnt to the stake. Burnt to the stake. They were... say this? It's crude. I know. Some of them even became, you know, supper, basically. There was cannibalism, and it is true that took place. You know? I'm not saying, oh, you know, the natives were, First Nations were, you know, just barbaric. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that there is a healing that needs to be taking place there. So I'm going to... Looking at maybe Kenny Blacksmith. I'm putting together a board, United in Christ, to sweep through and bring healing through the nation of Canada. So that's where the Lord has me. And our John Dawson.
Well, then there's the other side of the healing, where the Catholic schools took the children away from the First Nations people. And then all of that healing that also needs to take place. It moves both ways.
Yeah, it goes absolutely. It's deep. It's serious. It's, you know, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. Now, I don't know. The Lord seems to connect me with people, and our spirits have been knitted together somehow. John Dawson, an incredible man, the director of YWAM. We're kind of best friends for life, kind of thing. Like, I'm on his personal thing, and our spirits, he says, I think there's something here with you and I, Bruno, and we were just so united together. And his ministry is really reconciliation. So I want you to stand, and I just want to take the moment today to just, can we pray for, first of all, reconciliation between God and man. So let's stick with that little bit for now. We We need to first be reconciled because, see, the cross? See, the cross is a funny shape, isn't it? It's vertical and then it's horizontal. So you need to focus on the vertical part. There is no reconciliation without a reconciliation to God. Now think about this for a second. I know I got you standing on your feet because we're closing. I'm not going to be much longer. We're just going to pray through a couple things. If the band, if they're around, they can come up. I want you to think about this for a second. And I don't want to use a really bad analogy here, but here's the thing. Let's say I violate someone in whatever manner you can think of, all right? My brother, my sister, whatever. I sin against them, right? You know what we've forgotten often in terms of sinning against one another? We forgot that, you know what? Who do they belong to? So it's like, you know, okay, I'll use this example, and it's a really bad one, but no, honey? Well, here's the thing. Let's say I sin against Michelle. I make restitution with Michelle, or somehow, or I ask to be reconciled, but I totally ignore Octavian. You follow what I'm saying? And that's often what we do. We forget God in the picture. And say, well, you know what? You haven't sinned just against Stefan or Michelle or Anita. You've sinned against God. And you forgot to reconcile yourself with God. And God, you know, we need to reconcile first and foremost with God. So, without reconciling with God, there is no horizontal reconciliation. I am sorry. That's the way it works. You got to first go to God so that this part can be dealt with. That's the way it works. So right now, like, I know it's a heavy message, but you know, there's absolute freedom here. I want you to just close your eyes. Why do we do this? Yeah, I'm born again. I've given my heart to Jesus. Yeah, but you know what? We're constantly asked to be reconciled unto God because we are ambassadors of reconciliation. And for us to be ambassadors of reconciliation, any issue that we have with God, we need to straighten out or work on. So, Father, right now I ask that you would bring a reconciliation, that we would be reconciled to you, brought into that relationship with you. Father, you brought Jesus to be the one to die for us, and he is the propitiation of our faith. He is the one who stands in the gap. He is the one between myself and you, Father. Jesus, you stand in my place. So I want you to repeat this after me. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me, for being the one that took my place. You nailed every sin, every evil thought, everything I haven't done yet, everything I failed to do, everything I done against my brother, you nailed that to the cross. And I thank you. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. Reconcile me to the Father. Holy Spirit, come upon me again. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit, right now. Just put your hands out. If you confessed, this is what the Bible says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to cleanse you and bring healing and wash you and to bring you into that place. The Bible also says in Romans, it says that if we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and that He rose from the dead, because without believing He rose from the dead, basically, you know, we have no hope, really. There's no hope without that. We believe and we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. What does the Bible say? It says we will be saved. And salvation is today. So there's those here who may have never heard the gospel message yet, or have never received Jesus as their Lord. I want all eyes closed for a moment. If that was the very first time you've prayed that kind of prayer, with all eyes closed, you know, I'm not going to embarrass you or any of that. It's between you and Him. Although there's that part, you know, where He publicly went to the cross. He was not ashamed, and we're not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of life and death, really. But if that was the very first time you ever prayed that kind of prayer about reconciliation and being reconciled to Jesus and coming into that relationship, I want you to raise your hand all over this room. It's okay. Is there anyone here? Okay, so we've got someone who's raised their hand. So you know what? Maybe you might even be a believer. Maybe you just haven't done that publicly. Now, there's another call often that we have. And the other call, so just, I still know that you've had your hand up. You put your hand up. There is another call. And that other call is sometimes, you know, we get into it and we've been a Christian so long and just that passion has died. You know, we kind of just went into the pig pen, as it were. And the Father, you know, Luke 15 is a wonderful story. The Father calls us back home. So it's calling home of the prodigals. Sometimes you may think you're in that prodigal state. Where it's just kind of like life is caught up on you or with you. And it's just kind of just, it's not there anymore. It's just like you want to return to that first love, to that passion. If there's anyone here in this room, just close your eyes, who feels that they need to come back to the Father, just raise your hand. Anyone in this room? Okay, you know what? Everyone who raised their hand, I want you to do something publicly, because it's the Lord. It's not me. It's before Him. This is His altar. Let's consider it that. I want you to just come up out of your seats. And by the act of your faith, I want you to just stand right here. We're not going to point out who's here for the first time or whatever, but those who raised their hand, just come on up. Quickly, because the Lord's going to meet you, isn't He? Come and join me, honey. Come over here a little bit more, Jim.